Hi, good morning. I'm so glad that you chose to be with us today. It means so much to me that you're watching, wherever you're watching from, however you found us. It is a privilege to open up the scriptures and to really look into what God's heart is for us. And we believe that's going to happen over the next few moments. I'm Marcus Meekum, and there's so many things that we want to get into your hands. One of those things is we have a brand new free resource. It's a DVD. There's three different messages on this DVD. And the key message, the flagship message, would be these last days. And it is one of the most encouraging messages I've ever been given concerning the end time church. It will lift you. It will encourage you. It will help you see we were born for this time. God ordained us to be on the earth in this time. And I know that message will bless you. At any time during this broadcast, call the number on the screen. It's completely free. Just let us know what we can do to get that in your hands. And also, don't forget, as soon as our time's over, if you've never experienced Seven Hills Church Live, you can come and hang out with Seven Hills Church Live and online, chat with us, worship with us, get to know us a little bit more. It would be an honor to have you with us today. Hey, let's get right to the message, and I'll see you in a little bit.
So what we want to do real quick is we put together a message, a presentation, if you will. We're going to go back and forth between a couple stories that I'll introduce in just a minute. But really, we want to answer this big question, this big question. We're here because of course, Jesus, God came, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only Son of the begotten. But why did he come? Why did he come? And I think in church life, a lot of people miss this at some point. They kind of get away from this important reason. If you were to underline it all, why he came, we're going to do that tonight. And by the time you leave here, you'll understand a little bit more about why Jesus came. And I hope it'll bless you, speak to your life, and that you'll leave better and encouraged tonight as a result. So let's check it out.
Since the beginning of the countless centuries of darkness, all of creation waiting eagerly with a growing hope for a savior. And throughout the ages, this hope could not dim. As men and women of God saw brief glimpses of the divine, their spirits lifted by an unrelenting expectation of something magnificent that was yet to come. From Genesis to Revelation, all pointing to one thing, the seed of a woman in Genesis, the Passover lamb in Exodus, the high priest in Leviticus, the great prophet in Deuteronomy, the kinsman redeemer in Ruth, the fourth man in the fire with Daniel, the son of David, the star that would come forth from Jacob, for unto us a child is born, the Prince of Peace. He shall be called Emmanuel, and his throne would be established forever. And now in a place least expected, hope has arrived. Imagine the scene as the celestial curtain pulled aside with angels singing and radiant beams of God's love cascading downward. It is something more than anyone could ever hope or even dream. The spectacular arrival of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Magi had a passion to study the heavens as they watched and charted those distant lights that ignited the atmosphere with splendorous wonder. And yet something was about to happen that would change them forever. For on this night, a new star appeared in the skies above, beckoning them, heralding the arrival of a new king born. And it was not just any king, or even a great king. It was the King of Kings.
If you were to, by chance, to stumble upon the sheep stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem, you would experience a very peculiar scene. We read about it, but you'd have to imagine that the stable would stink as stables do. That the stench of urine and dung and sheep would reek in the air. The ground would be hard. The hay would be scarce. Cobwebs would cling to the ceiling. Maybe even a mouse would scurry across the floor. A more lowly place for a birth could not exist. When you think about this scene that we read about in the Christmas story, you can hardly read about it or hear about it without whispering in your mind and your heart, why? Why did he come? Why would God come to this messed up planet we call Earth? Those hands were so tiny and so tender. Those hands clenched in an infant's fist. They would not be destined to hold a scepter or wave from some palace balcony. They would never touch gold. They would never feel satin. Instead, these hands would be reserved for something much more. They would touch the open wound of a leper. They would wipe the weary tear of the widow. They would break bread with the outcast of society. They would claw the ground of Gethsemane. Eventually, they would be reserved for a Roman spike and be nailed to a Roman cross. Heaven, as we know, would be interrupted by this big announcement in the form of a baby. Our planet was changed in the announcement of God coming to this earth in the form of a child or a baby. But why? Why was this baby in Bethlehem born? And why did God come to this planet? Well, the first thing we have to consider is that the baby did not stay a baby. As babies do, Jesus grew up. The Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. So we know that Jesus did not stay a child, but he grew up. And he experienced this world so he would see our nakedness because we could not clothe ourselves. He would see our sin that we could not escape. He would see our sickness that we could not heal. And it's important that we understand whatever our situation is, God completely and fully understood it. The Bible says he was a God that's touched with our infirmities. Ultimately, he would pay the price for our sin by dying on a cross. And then he would be raised on the third day and come back to life, proving he was God. But why? So together, we're going to look at two stories simultaneously. The first story we're going to look at is an encounter that Jesus had with a man by the name of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. The second story is one that's more familiar to the day that we live in. It's about two brothers, the McCullough brothers, who are a part of this church. These are amazing men who had a life-transforming experience, and we want you to hear their story as well. The most important thing is that in both instances, they found out why Jesus came. And so let's go check out these stories.
All of us fall short in one aspect of our lives or another, lost in a sea of people, clawing our way through, trying to make a name for ourselves, in a desperate attempt to see what the rest of the world is after. If we're not careful, we get lost in the crowd.
It was everything to us to be the man, to be known.
My life for about 15 years was, it was a party. I lost my mom when I was 23. A lot of my faith came from her, it stemmed from her. And losing my mom, kind of really wanted nothing to do with Christ after that. It was just a dagger that kind of destroyed my life. So I lived a life of just party. It was a nonstop party. We started a marketing company called TMG, Top Shelf Marketing Group. Throwing parties. We opened up a place called Cicero's. We were doing parties there. There was a place called Club Q. It was on Main Street. And then probably the biggest thing that we were doing at that moment was a place in Covington. It was called the Avenue Lounge. The Avenue Lounge was probably the biggest thing that we were part of at that time. At that point, we thought that our life was about who knows you.
Sitting down with, you know, many celebrities, bringing them in from, you know, Kourtney Kardashian, Kid Rock, Russell Simmons owns Def Comedy Jam. And man, it was just like going into those places and being with those people just made you feel so high on life. Once we realized that there was an influence there in our lives, we were just using it at in every way for the world, everything possible for the world, and for fulfillment. And we would leverage that influence and try to get anything that we wanted out of it, but still ultimately unfulfilled, completely unfulfilled. There were a few nights that I stood on the AA highway. I was actually standing in the middle lane one night and was begging, if God, if you're even there, just let a car, let somebody hit me. I didn't want to live. And what was really strange about it is I felt like at the time financially, it was probably the best I had ever done. I had everything that I needed. From the outside looking in, it would probably seem like, man, these guys have everything together, but inside so empty, so unfulfilled, chasing the next high, chasing the next party. There were so many nights. We had an office downtown on Plum Street, downtown Cincinnati. And there were nights, it was on the second floor, and I remember taking our children into that room. It was on the third floor, so we were one floor above where this massive nightclub was. And we would lock our children in the room, and we would lock them there in this office all night long. And, you know, at the time, they probably didn't really understand what was going on, but we would lock them in there and then go party. And sometimes we would wake up the next day and come back at 10, 11 o'clock the next day, and they'd be locked in this office. And it just, that's what it meant to us. It was more than even our children. It meant more to us than even our family. It's very difficult to even admit that. The night that the Holy Spirit had tracked me down in my life, I was at a place called Gala Park. It's a nightclub downtown Cincinnati. I was with my wife, and we had a VIP table, all the bottles coming in, the sparklers going off, the celebration all around us, women. I mean, it was pretty wild.
I was at a place in Covington called Blinkers. We were drinking. We had a little room they kind of gave us to ourselves, just partying like normal. Nothing too different, but we were sitting there, and I remember just looking across and feeling some type of way. I didn't know at the moment what I was feeling, but something didn't feel right. I got up, went to the restroom, and I remember looking in the mirror and started crying. Probably hadn't cried a tear in 10 years. I just started crying.
There was something, I believe it was God's spirit, that was just changing my thought. And for the first time in my life, I thought about eternity. And I thought about where I would spend eternity if I took my last breath that night.
And, you know, the night would always end with, drinking, partying, group of girls back at my buddy's house. It's just how the night ended for a decade. But not that night. They don't want it to end that way.
I don't know if it's called a revelation, if that's what God had given me. I'm not sure what it's called, but I do know that I started seeing all these things that I chased for 15 years and got me to that moment to where I was more empty than when I started the journey.
Thank you.
Amazing how God could even find you in a club. If you read the story of Zacchaeus or you walk through the story of the McCullough brothers, there's two primary obstacles in these two stories. Really, there's these two obstacles in every person's life in this room. The first one would be the crowd. In Luke 19 and verse 3, it says that the crowd hindered Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. It's the same with you. The crowd always has a way of hindering you from seeing Jesus. And it's so easy to get lost in a crowd, isn't it? Maybe it's the party crowd. You could choose the type of crowd you want to talk about, even a religious crowd like this. Crowds all across the world on Christmas, people will be in the crowd, but somehow, some way, they'll miss catching a glimpse of why he came. You see, the Bible says that the crowd would cry out for a release of a known criminal by the name of Barabbas. That same crowd would then cry out to crucify the Son of God who was innocent, but they yet would cry out to crucify him. Even in the Christmas story, the Bible says that Joseph was wanting to put Mary away or divorce Mary secretly because of public disgrace. He was afraid of the opinion of the crowd. Crowds are not always wrong, but they're not always right either. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2 says, "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong." Matthew chapter 7 gives us the picture of a road that leads to life, but it's a narrow road and few people find it. And then there's another road that's on its way to destruction. And it says that that road is a wide road. It is filled with the multitudes and the masses. There's just something about a crowd that many times carries us to places that maybe we wouldn't have gone to any other way. That's why Jesus would always call people out of the crowd and say, "Follow me." And then he would send us back to the crowd to be fishers of men. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 13 that the Antichrist or the beast will rise out of the sea. The sea is symbolic of the masses and the multitudes. And this is the point. That the collective brain of the crowd can get it wrong. That the very Antichrist will come out of a crowd. It'll be a popular thing. He'll be a famous thing. He'll have answers for some of the world's problems. But the crowd will get it wrong. Jesus is in a crowd of 100, and he notices one that's missing. And so he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. Really, that's what we're doing tonight. We're leaving the normal Christmas crowd because we know Jesus is on the search for one. Somebody here tonight, he's on the search for you. Zacchaeus had to move past the crowd. The woman with the issue of blood, an incurable blood disease, and the crowd was keeping her from her breakthrough and her healing, and she had to push through the crowd and grab a hold of the hem of his garment. We constantly talk about this church and to the people that attend this church, that the most important thing you could ever give this place is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest thing you could do is just say, "I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm going to keep focused on Jesus no matter what." Because at some point you'll stand before him. And when that day comes, the crowd won't be there. Seven Hills won't be there. Whatever church you're a part of won't be there. You'll stand before him on your own. The crowd won't speak up for you. The crowd won't rescue you in that moment. You'll have to stand before him as an individual, face to face. The second obstacle that many people face is, the Bible says that Zacchaeus was little in stature, or he was short. He was successful in life. He was wealthy. He was well known. But the Bible says he was short. And it's important that we realize, no matter how successful you are in this world, every person is short in some area of their life or another. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Whatever your liability is tonight, whatever area you're insufficient in, whatever area you think that you lack, know this, that your greatest liability could become your greatest asset. That being short is the very thing that drove Zacchaeus to look for a tree. It was his handicap. It was his liability. It was his problem that caused him to look for the tree. The very thing that he had cursed his whole life, being short, was the very thing that led him to the place where he would experience the greatest miracle of his life, and that was meeting Jesus. His liability became his asset. It's so important that you understand that not only did the area Zacchaeus was short in, not only was Jesus not turned off by that, he was attracted to it. And not only would Jesus change his life, but the Bible says salvation came to his entire house. The thing I love about Jesus is our liabilities, the areas we're short, the areas we struggle, are the very things that God wants to come in. He's drawn to those things. He's not repelled by them. He's drawn and attracted to those things. I found out a long time ago that when I'm weak, that's when he's strong. I found out that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I want us to continue to look at the story of Zacchaeus. I want us to continue to look at the McCullough brothers, how they overcame some of these obstacles together as they answered why he came, as they discovered why Jesus came. Let's check it out.
I see the Bible laying there that my mom had gifted me, and I actually have it here. She gifted this to me in 1998 on Christmas. It was the last Christmas gift that she had given me. She gave Josh one as well. And again, I probably have not opened a Bible in, man, maybe a couple of decades, probably. So I open it up, and on the front cover, and you got to realize, I didn't even remember my mom writing this. I had no idea why I was so drawn to open the Bible. She had wrote on the inside of the Bible just a small little message.
Hey, we're so glad that you chose to spend time with us, listening to what God would have to say to each and every one of you. We would love for you to consider taking a step with us. What does that look like? Well, there's a number on the screen there for one reason, and that is we want to do everything we can to be a blessing to you. If you're going through anything and you need prayer, you're going through a trial, a struggle, you've been through a failure, a mistake, maybe you're in a traumatic time, maybe you're in a great time, but things feel empty and lonely. Maybe you're far from God and you're like, what do I do? Call the number on the screen. It's there so we can pray with you, believe God with you. We would love to hear from you. And if you'd pray about that, consider doing that. We know it'll be a blessing to you. Also, we have a brand new free resource for anyone that desires it. If you've enjoyed today's message, this is called These Last Days. It's a DVD that's got 3 messages on it. It's completely free. And we would love to put that in your hand. Call the number on the screen and they'll get that to you as well. And then don't forget, as soon as we end our time together, you can come hang out with us live and online. And so they'll give you the instructions on the screen on how you can do that. You can come and chat with us, worship with us, hear a fresh message today. And it would mean so much if you would do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we were born for such a time as this. Somebody today needs to be encouraged and inspired. Lift us today to do your will in the earth in these times. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week.
When I don't pray like I used to, I sing quite as loud as I did. And the way I once loved you is a memory of the life that I once lived. Chilling. Take your love.